For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, first a question. I wonder how many of you ever have used something like this. Be interested in a show of hands. Okay? Oh, okay, good. Quite a few people have. For those who don't recognize it, that is an oil filter wrench. And it's useful for taking the oil filter off the engine of a car. It's able to grab hold of something stronger and stronger as it turns. So it's good for turning things that are hard to get a grip on or hard to turn. You ladies might want to keep one of these in the kitchen for those stubborn jars. I once tried to remove an oil filter, and I didn't have one. What I ended up doing was driving a screwdriver through the filter to have a handle to turn it with. That was a mess. The value of this kind of wrench is that it can work in a way that is both powerful and yet careful, not crushing that filter. God's word of gospel, I believe, is like that filter wrench. It grabs hold of people and turns them in repentance. God's word of gospel comes to us boldly, with power. And yet God works gently and patiently with us, working with his word as his tool to give us forgiveness and life. So that like Paul, we too can declare the gospel with boldness, we can declare the gospel with gentleness, and we can declare God's gospel with confidence. Let's think first about how we can declare God's gospel with boldness. Paul writes, though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know. Paul's ministry was characterized by boldness. He did not hesitate to go into towns where he didn't know anybody and start talking about the touchy subject of religion, including the wild idea of the resurrection from the dead. He didn't mind telling people when they were wrong and argue with objectors about what it is the Bible really says. He didn't worry about what other people thought of him, although he did care a lot about what God thought of him, and so he was careful to avoid impure motives or deception. And so, time after time, he was arrested, he was jailed, he was beaten for what he did. One example he gives is when he was in Philippi, where he was thrown in jail for freeing a woman from demon possession. And even in jail, he didn't keep quiet, but he was singing and praying so loudly that that caused the jailer himself to come to a point of repentance. And when he was released, he went right down the road to Thessalonica, which is where he was writing this letter to, and he did it again. Today, as we celebrate the Reformation, we're reminded of Martin Luther. God made him bold as well. Once he discovered the wonderful gospel for himself, he talked about it, he wrote about it all the time. And he pointed out things in the church that contradicted the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. And he insisted that these things were wrong. When he was ordered by the leaders in the church and even the Roman emperor to change his mind, to recant, he refused, even though his life was threatened. This reminds us, and the reason we're reviewing this is as a reminder that the gospel needs to be declared boldly by us still today. We need to be less concerned about what other people might think of us than what they think about God and his saving gospel. This takes some courage, as we are not apt to be beaten or imprisoned or have our life threatened, at least not in this country, but it will cost us. It can cost time, money, sometimes political correctness. So why is such boldness necessary? It's because of the opposition Paul mentions. Why is there such strong opposition? Why do people get so upset at people who simply want to talk about what they think and believe about Jesus? What's so terrible about saying that God loves you and wants to save you and forgive you of your sins even though you don't deserve it? What's so terrible about that? It's because it necessarily means that we need to be saved. Because we are not good enough to deserve God's love, and for anything but his condemnation and punishment. And because it means that we cannot help ourselves. The gospel is an insult to the human idea that I am good enough, and that any problem I might have, I can fix myself if I try enough. We are like the little children I know who refuse any help getting dressed, saying, I'll do myself. We must confess that we ourselves need the gospel. And so we must continue to declare the gospel with boldness. Because even in the Christian church, there's continued temptation that my faith somehow depends on me, my decision, my understanding. That the success of our church somehow depends on our using the right kind of human-pleasing methods. And yet, at the same time, we must remember to declare God's gospel with gentleness. Paul writes, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you to his own kingdom and glory. You know that when something is hard to move, like a stuck oil filter, it takes great strength to move it slowly and carefully. The weak have to resort to shoving or jerking or pounding. Moving hearts to faith must also be done gently, because although they may be just as hard to turn, they are more easily crushed than even oil filters or jars. And crushing defeats the purpose. Paul knew this. He knew that even though those he talked to could be as unreasonably stubborn as little children, they were still to be treated gently as children, children of God. When facing opposition, he applied Jesus' instruction to be as wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. Maybe because he knew his own heart, as we should too, and how hard it is for us to give up that idea of our own goodness and simply accept the free gift of God's grace. No matter how he was threatened or slandered, he never used threats in return or exaggerated shame. Even when he gained a position of influence, he said, he did not use that to try to make things easier for himself. He did not insist on his own rights, even as he insisted on the right of the gospel to be heard. Again, we need to remember to be like this still today. It is so easy for us to be self-righteous and indignant toward those who don't seem to understand what we say or what we do. It's easy to get frustrated and angry and to give up on those who we may feel like we're wasting our time on with speaking the gospel. It may be easy to answer personal criticism with personal criticism and demand our own way when we are in the majority. But as Paul encourages the Thessalonians to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of God, we also must speak about God in a manner worthy of the gospel of God. If we're going to share God's love and his grace and his forgiveness, how can we not do it except in a loving and gracious way? So why is such patience and self-giving love so important? It's because this is how God has come to us. Paul writes, "We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves." Well, God did share his gospel with us by giving us his own self. Jesus humbled himself to become an obedient child, to humbly keep all of God's law for us. He did this first to communicate God's love to us with words and with actions as the Word of God made flesh, and then also to willingly suffer and die for us, to take the consequences of our stubborn rebellion on himself. In Jesus' death and his resurrection, there we see the ultimate power of God, united with the ultimate gentleness and humility. This action of Jesus is the one thing which had enough power to break the grip of sin and death and the devil on us, without crushing us along with them. God applies this power of his love to us in the word of the gospel. This is why we can declare God's gospel with confidence. So Paul finishes, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." I'm able to be careful and still confident I'm going to get the job done if I've got the right tool. God's Word is the power tool that he uses. If God grabbed us barehandedly with his power, he could make us do anything, but he would crush us. God chooses instead to turn us, that is, to bring us to faith, using the tool of his word, which is powerful, but which we are able to resist. So if we have faith, it's entirely by God's doing. He's the one who turned us. But if we don't have faith, it's entirely our doing. We resist it. And so also, when we share the faith, we work with both power and gentleness by simply speaking God's word of the gospel. Because it's not our words, but it's God's word. And it's God's word is what does the work. As the letter to the Hebrews says, God's word is living and active. God's word takes hold of people and turns them to repentance and turns them to faith in God. God's word causes what it says to become true. When God says you are forgiven, we are forgiven. God makes us righteous. God's Word, then, is what gives us personal confidence. When we read the Bible, it's not just human opinions or stories. It's God's inspired Word. We can be sure that Jesus did what it says He did and that He keeps His promises. When we are baptized, it's not just our doing a demonstration of faith. It's God's Word calling us His children, and that causes it to be true. When we receive Holy Communion, it is God's own Word that causes the bread and wine to become the actual body and blood of Jesus, so that we can be confident of His gifts of forgiveness. People do resist God's Word because they prefer to value what they themselves can understand and they themselves can do. They would much rather hear, just tell me what I should do, than to hear what God does for us through Jesus. We must resist the temptation to think that we can overcome this resistance by things that we do, rather than by the simple power of the gospel itself. And so, what we continue to do is declare God's gospel with boldness in the face of human opposition to anything that calls into question our own goodness or abilities, and at the same time to declare God's gospel with gentleness, as a loving parent dealing with a child, because that's how God's grace works with us. And it's the message of how Jesus has lovingly given Himself to save us. And so we can always declare God's gospel with confidence, because it's God's own Word that we share. And God's Word is His power tool to turn us to faith and to give us life, now and forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen. You may rise as we continue with our worship with the prayer.